voices. Unedited, uncut, unfiltered, unflappable. Bringing you glory to the green. Representing One Nation. Mean Green Nation. It's time for the Mean Green Nation podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Mean Green Nation podcast. What's new, guys? Huh? Anything happened yesterday? Anything fun? With me, as always, Mr. Greg Goldacre. And I gotta say, Greg is outfitted in his Cleveland Brown shirt today, so I'm a little disappointed. I, on the other hand, am wearing a North Texas shirt, you know, because I don't know. I mean, just because I wanted to, really.
I wore a North Texas shirt on Friday and Saturday.
Used them all up. It's a good one. I like that one. All right, let's get right to it. We got nationally embarrassed.
Yes.
Portland State was a good team. I fully expected. I woke up Saturday morning fully expecting to lose. I was prepared to lose. I, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, okay, we're going to get Washington stated out here, and that's going to be fine. I can live with that. And I even think that Dan McCartney could have survived if we lost, like, a heartbreaker. I imagine something, 35-31, kind of a heartbreaking play, final drive gets intercepted, or Portland State drives and gets a winning touchdown. I fully expected that to happen, and some embarrassment to occur. Didn't expect to get eviscerated, completely dominated. If we play like that on Thursday, Western Kentucky is going to put 100 on us.
Right. Let's back up for a second.
Sure.
You were saying that, you know, even if we lost close, that Dan McCartney probably could have survived. I had said on Twitter, and I don't have a lot of followers, you know, but I had said on Twitter that, you know, Dan McCartney would not be back. And I said that at like 10 in the morning, and some people had called us out during the day that, well, where are you getting these reports from? And then all of a sudden they're like, bam, it happened. So the plan was to fire Dan McCartney after the Western Kentucky game. And basically, a big money donor was so pissed last night that he just wanted to get it done last night. He was like, let's just do it. So the plan was, after Western Kentucky, he would no longer be with the team as the head coach. And because of what happened and because of the embarrassment, he just said, let's just get this done. So RV went and did the dirty business and, you know, handed up the papers and said goodbye, you know, thanks for what you've done. And yeah, so that's kind of how it went down. But he wasn't, no matter really what was going to happen yesterday, he wasn't going to be back next year.
I imagine that. So we've heard some of those things coming through. Like you said, people send us tips, and you have your insider friend. But I mean, that's what I mean. Is that like, that you don't usually fire a coach in the locker room. You don't pull him out. Principal wants to see you right now. But that's what we did, because it was so embarrassing. And you know what? I don't even care, really, because I wanted to fire him at halftime. I wish that we could have gone publicly out to the 50-yard line and, you know, called for a reliever there at halftime, you know, because he just didn't have it that day.
It kind of reminds you of Hayden at USC when he removed Lane Kiffin and was like, you're not getting on the plane with us. You know?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, and this obviously, this is, you know, coming from a very specific perspective, but we have we don't have the most prestigious program, right? We have a complex about being viewed as less than, right? That we got we don't like being laughed at. Nobody likes being laughed at, right? And the Todd Dodge years made us the laughingstock of the nation, pretty much. We were perennial members of the bottom 10 in every ranking that you can think of. People locally would say, oh, North Texas, oh, they're trash. This, you know what I mean? Like, so that was partly why that the Heart of Dallas Bowl was so special, was so amazing, and why this was so awful again. And, I mean, this is the worst loss an FBS school has ever had to an FCS school. 66. It was 66-0, ladies and gentlemen. I expected that against Iowa. You know, if Southern Miss did that to us, I could have still been, you know, understanding. But this was an FCS school. I mean, they're a good FCS school, but, I mean, that means that we don't even belong. We don't even belong in FBS right now. We do not. We're the worst team. We are the worst team in the nation.
Is Portland State, you know, what was 53 points better than us? Or, but no, I'm sorry. I can't even subtract this morning. But, I mean, the 66 points that they had put up on us, are they, you know, that much better than us? No, they're not. I didn't watch the game, but I'm pretty sure that the players just quit. I mean, we had the discussion a while back, or, you know, we've talked about it some on Twitter, about the dysfunction on the team, you know, the lack of leadership within the locker room. And that's all evident when you go out there and get your ass kicked by Portland State. And I guarantee you, I know what happened, that, you know, probably even some of the coaches felt like they could just walk on the field and beat Portland State. The players, coaches, you know, they probably felt like they could walk out there and, you know, we're just going to win. And Portland State, their head coach was kind of, you know, hey, we're going to go down there, we're going to have a good time, and we're going to eat some barbecue when we get off the plane, and, you know, we're just going to do whatever we need to do to try and win the game. And they had no pressure on them. And here's North Texas paying, you know, $435,000 to an FCS school, and now they weren't even favored to win. And all the pressure in the world is on them because, I mean, you could feel the heat on McCartney's seat, you know. Everything, you know, the 125th anniversary, they had to perform well, and they just struggled under the pressure, and they just collapsed as a team. And that happens when you don't have good leaders in the locker room. I mean, I could put the question out to you, who are the leaders of this team?
Yeah, we talked about that. I don't know. The thing is that losing will do that to you. Losing will make, you know, will make it seem like you have no leaders. Makes it seem like nobody cares. You know, like there's zero enthusiasm in the program. People start sniping at each other. I know a lot of people, a lot of players tweeted this too. Former players, players on other teams, saying that really to get this stuff righted, you gotta. There has to be senior leadership. There has to be people on a squad. What? But here's the thing. You need leadership from your head coach, like stability in the program, right? I mean, these guys are in a program or there for only 4 years, right? At most, 5 years at most, right? The guys that really set the tone are the head coaches. Like, let's not absolve them of responsibility here. Dan McCartney is a senior citizen, right? And he's been around college football for, you know, most of his life. And we pay him handsomely to run a program. And so he knows. I mean, he knows. He knows that you got to get leadership in there. That means you got to recruit guys that have leadership qualities. That means you have to set the tone there. That means you can't make excuses. And what's really happened, and I'm not excusing any of the players quitting, any of that happening. But I think the stark contrast presented by Jim Harbaugh going to Michigan and turning around a team, and now that, you know, they're top 25 now, and they look like a top 25 team. They're out there blanking opponents 97-0 in the last three games. Nobody was expecting that here in North Texas, but when people were saying in like 2011, 2012, when Dan McCartney was here, where's the turnaround? Like, where's the real evidence of his coaching ability? That's kind of what they meant. A lot of people expected, like, Michigan to be kind of somewhere in the middle of the pack, to show some signs of life, but not really get there, not really become the team in the Jim Harbaugh mold until later, like kind of like I did at Stanford.
Right.
You know, like, that comes from, like, being a really good coach. We didn't have that. We didn't have the leadership at the top that we needed. And, yeah, that I think that translates to not having – the player leadership, because there's only so much you can do. I don't like hearing, and this is like a management kind of crutch. Well, you know, if you want to, you got to want to be the change you want to see in the world. You know, you got to manage up. And that's true to a certain extent. But the players, say your senior wide receiver, don't get to call the plays. They don't get to call the defense. They don't get to recruit the guys. You know, there's only so much you can do, lead by example, get guys to work hard, get guys to care. I mean, you're one of, 100 people in the program, right? There's only so much that you can do with your status within the program.
Right, so, anyway. And we're going to see, especially this week, if there's any leaders in this program. We're going to see that if the players themselves are capable of, as I said last night, looking in the mirror and determining what kind of person they want to be from here on out. Because it's from here throughout the rest of the season, it's on the players. It's on the players to pick themselves up off the mat. Okay, you just got knocked, the F out. Now, what are you going to do against Western Kentucky? What are you going to do on that Thursday night? I mean, Western Kentucky's probably just laughing, and their coaching staff is—they're probably hating this because, all their players are thinking, "Well, we're just going to walk all over them." But again, you never know what the mentality is in the locker room of North Texas. They could come out Thursday night and just play balls to the wall and beat a Western Kentucky. It sounds laughable now, but everybody was laughing at Texas having the Twitter war, and then they walk out on the field and they beat OU. So, yeah. I mean,
crisis change is the easiest time to get everybody to listen, right? When everything's going to shit and you raise your hand up and say, you know what? I think I have a better way. The easiest coaching job in America is going to be Kosh Canales, we'll get into that a little bit later, the ridiculousness of having co-interim head coaches. But that's going to be the easiest job. There's not a whole lot of motivating that's going to be necessary. You just have to point to the score. Hey, y'all remember y'all lost 66-7? Y'all remember that? Let's get to work. Let's practice harder. Let's focus on these plays. Let's do the right things. The hardest coaching job, is going to be Western Kentucky because they have to play. Like you said, they can't skip over this week. And I mean, they're feeling good. They just whooped up on Middle Tennessee. They're like, oh my God, we're going to take on this North Texas team that just got hammered by Portland State. Oh, we got this. So, yeah, you're right.
I told Amanda that I was like, if I was Coach Canales, because I'm pretty sure, I know they said, the middle intern, interim coaches, and like you said, we'll get into that, but I think it'll probably end up being Coach Canales with most of the duties. I said, if I was him and we come out there Thursday night, that first play of the game, the first, whether it's we have the ball or they have the ball, I want 11 personal fouls. I just want to go out there and you fuck a Western Kentucky player up. I mean, you just do something just dirty and just like, and then after that, the whole team just go on to the middle of the field and just start just going batshit crazy, just jumping around, just acting a fool. That's what I want to see. I want to see some fight out of these guys Thursday night, so that's what I would do. I'd just come out there, kind of like when Georgia scored their touchdown a couple of years ago against Florida and the whole team just ran on the field. It showed some unity. I want to see some unity out of these guys that they can accomplish something together. So I'm like, let's just go fuck Western Kentucky up, Kind of like the replacements, too. That's what I want to see.
I totally think that's what they should do. Like, they should get a personal foul. They should. Hold on. Everybody says they can't hear you. Can you hear Greg now? Hold on. Sorry, I'm going to take a stop down. Greg, can you say something for us?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you guys hear him now? All right. Everybody said they couldn't hear you. I changed something. Hopefully they can hear you now. This is all going to be recorded, ladies and gentlemen. You can be able to hear this later. Again, it's probably the thing you messed up. All right. There you go. Guy can hear now.
Missing the best part.
Yeah. Just the live part. You can always go back and listen to this later, and you're going to want to. Nobody else is going to be saying the things like what we're saying this week. You're going to hear some people that haven't paid attention to North Texas since 2013. Like, oh, man, well, Dan McCartney is a great guy. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. That's maybe a little rush to make a decision there. I'm not sure. He's a great guy. I love him. I talked to him the other day. Played golf. He's great. He's great. He's so funny. Great goose. That's what they're going to say about him. But if you follow this program, any kind of closely, with any, you just paid attention. Like, read the box scores every week. Read what he says about the quarterback. I think you had a great post highlighting the baffling reasoning for keeping Minnie Mac as the starting quarterback. And I think for me, I can totally see, and this is, you know, again, this is not scientific. I can totally see how we are baffled and confused at this guy starting this quarterback with the, you know, was it 18.5 QBR, I think somebody said. Whatever numbers you want to pick out to show how not good our quarterback play has been, and then to hear the coach say, well, he gives us the best chance to win, best chance to win. Now imagine having to go to work for that guy every day. Imagine you're there in practice and you're hearing this guy say these things. I would find it hard to maybe give everything I had. And that's just human nature, you know? And that's what I'm saying, is that, like, I know you play for yourself. There's some guys, you can see them on the field. They go hard 100% of the time. But, you know, you need everybody. You know, it's hard to work for a guy you don't believe in. It's hard to play for a guy you don't believe in. And right. we can all say, oh, well, you know, that's what you're out there for. That's what I give you a scholarship for. But, you know, you got to take a look at yourself. Look around. Stand up in your office. Look around. Is everybody giving 100%? Is everybody – there's a guy – you're listening to a podcast at work. There's a guy over there that's, like, looking at YouTube. Some guy's probably streaming Netflix. Some guy is just sitting there looking at his email, right? Not everybody's working hard, and that's fine. You can have successful organizations where not every some people are just along for the ride. That's a possibility, right? And I think somebody else said that, like, what, football's super hard. Football's hard. It's unnatural. Football is, you know, nobody wants to get up, get beat, get hit in the face, you know? Nobody wants to do that. You have to have a guy that motivates you to get – to prepare, to do the hard work, to do – to play football. I think it was on Inside the NFL. I'm sorry for quoting it without attribution. I totally agree with what you said, Greg. Let's get a personal foul penalty. When we score a touchdown, everybody get on the field. We'll get a 15-yard penalty together as a team. But we need some kind of excitement about this program again.
Yeah. I mean, you got to play like there's nothing to lose against Western Kentucky, because there isn't at this point. I mean, if we got to kick off, shit, first play, onside kick, you know, something like that. Yeah, I mean, you know, all 15 fans that are going to be in the stands, and that's another thing. Look, you know, go out there. If you're a student, a fan, whatever, you got season tickets, just go support the team. You know, they need you guys at this point. Obviously, there's been fans that have been extremely critical of players and players that have talked back. Everybody just needs to cut the shit right now. This is about the University of North Texas as a program, and both the fan base and the players, we're both the laughing stock of college football right now. Yeah. So we need to heal ourselves internally, and that process starts Thursday night. You know, so if you're a fan and you have tickets, go to the game. Cheer on the players. It's not going to be a 66-7, you know, thrashing. I think they're going to come out and play hard against Western Kentucky, because they have to. Everything points to, you know, when people get in this situation, it's like you said, a crisis situation. The players, they're going to come out and they're going to play hard.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that, like, I think people confound support for the program and disappointment with, you know, the on-field product, right? They're like, and, like, people's reaction to it. I mean, I'm going to be watching North Texas football probably till the day I die. You know, probably not the smartest idea. Just, you know, football is a violent game. It's more and more. Maybe it's not so healthy. You know, but I'm like the guy that, like, hey, it's 1967. You probably shouldn't smoke because it gives you cancer. Like, look, dude, I've been smoking since, like, I was 8. You know, it's probably not going to stop. You know, I'm just going to be one of those guys. That's it for me. You know, so I'm like a lost cause. Maybe my kid doesn't play football or watch it or whatever. But I'm going to go sneak me a peek at some North Texas football in 2040. That's what I'm going to do. I know it. Okay. So there's no hope for me. That's fine. I watched to the end. I watched the whole thing to the end. My wife got back from shopping. I know that sounds cliche. I'm at home watching football. My wife's outside shopping. But she came home. She's like, hey, what's the score? And I was like, it's 4-2-0. And she was like, us? And then I didn't say anything. And then she looked, and then she was like, oh my God, what is that? And then she sat down, and we watched it together. The thing is that that's supporting the program. I watch it. I'm blogging about it. If I were in Denton, I'd go to the game. I'm not going to be in Denton, so I can't go to the game. But later on this year, I'm going to go to Neyland Stadium, and I'm going to watch us play Tennessee, who looked really great coming back against Georgia the other day. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be wearing green. I'm going to get hotel tickets, probably spending way more money than I should. But, I mean, that's supporting the program, right? Right. But was I excited to see 66-0? No. Was I just going to, you know, give them a little hand clap and like, well, you know, our boys tried real hard. You know, that was a good job. You know, you got to say positive things. Like, no, dude, that was embarrassing. That was embarrassing. As proud as I was to see them win the Heart of Dallas Bowl and to win on the Cotton Bowl field and see 39,000 fans there cheering, was as embarrassed as I was to watch then be destroyed. Thankfully, it was on a web stream and not.
Oh, yeah.
It was not gifable. It wasn't memeable. It wasn't vineable. You know, nobody was Snapchat. Well, some people were Snapchat. I saw snaps from the game. It was like full stadium, well, full-ish, right? And then by the end, it was like really only parents and people that had to be there, or people with absolutely nothing else to do on a Saturday night.
Yeah, I wasn't able to make it. We had a wedding to go to, and it was a Czech wedding. And so if you know Czech people, you know, they got the polka music. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm watching, you know, the game cast. I'm not watching the game, just the game cast. And I'm watching this happen, and the polka music, you know, sometimes it can sound pretty, like, sad. And, you know, sometimes it's like drinking music, and the music just set the mood. It was just like, I was like, what the hell is exactly going on here? Because every few minutes I'd lean over and show my wife, and she'd be like, you just need to stop watching. But it was like that thing, like you said, you just couldn't stop. You just couldn't stop looking at it. You're like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I can't turn this off. And then, like, you know, a lot of people, obviously, they were holding out hope to see if maybe DeMarcus Smith would get in the game. And, of course, he has to come in behind Josh Greer. You know, what that decision, I don't know. Do you think DeMarcus Smith, does he start next week against Western Kentucky?
I don't see why he doesn't. I mean, what really are you – I mean, we have ample evidence that Mr. Andrew McNulty is not the best quarterback for North Texas. Josh Greer has had what? He started the Texas game. He started the Louisiana Tech game. He started the SMU game. And he's played sporadically since then. And he hasn't really showed anything positive outside of one drive against La Tech that I was like, all right, that was pretty good. DeMarcus Smith, let's see what he has. That's right. We can throw out rollout Connor Means out there, too. I mean, really, we need to play for the future. We need to play for next season. What do we have? We're 0-5 right now. And I mean,
DeMarcus Smith he has talent, but he has some extra incentive this week. I mean, you know, he got beat out by Brohm at quarterback. That forced him to transfer all over the place. So yeah. Why wouldn't you? I mean, he's the one guy on this team that, you know, wants to prove something probably next week, wants to show the other team up. So why wouldn't you stick him out there? Maybe he prepares a little bit harder this week or, you know, I mean, yes, the McNulty era should have been over a long time ago, and it should have ended, you know, yesterday afternoon. And I know a lot of people bash on him, but again, it's not his fault. It's not his fault
Tell me, you were one of the ones bashing on him. You called him McNuggets.
Yeah, I know. I didn't really, like, bash on him. It was more, you know, constructive criticism.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the McNuggets thing is just, you know, being funny and just playing on it because, I mean, dude was put in a bad situation by his head coach. In no way, if you're a Texas college football team, should your quarterback be should your starter be a quarterback from Iowa whose only FBS offer was you? No, it shouldn't be that way. There should be somebody from Texas starting as our quarterback. And so I wrote about it saying that the downfall of Dan McCartney he was going to ride Andrew McNulty to the end. And that's what was going to get him fired. And you didn't believe me. And it happened yesterday. I mean, it's been happening.
I thought that man had more sense than to do something like that. And, here's the thing. How much of this, I mean, you take the longer view, right? And you look at North Texas, not just in this last year, last 2 years, but if you look in the last 10 years, right? 2005 till now, I mean, it's been an awful time. One winning season, and that one winning season went to a bowl game. And I wonder if we were looking at that. I know, I do. That was great, seeing that build up to, like, wow, that terrible era is over. We are now a normal college football team. And I fully realized that we were not going to go to bowl games every season. We were not going to be top 10, 25, top 10. But, hey, at this level in Conference USA, a school of our size, place where we are, you can totally go to a conference championship game, to a bowl game every 4 years. You can have a very competitive nationally team every 4 years. And that's reasonable. That should be expected. You get a load of seniors that have been in your system, guys that have developed that maybe don't have all-world talent but are good enough, solid college football players, or players that weren't quite ready to make an impact at a bigger school, at a more prestigious school in their freshman, sophomore years. Here they are, fourth year, and you can go to bowl game. You know, basically what happened in 2013 for us. I think that's totally reasonable to expect. And so I was expecting some of that, not this fall all the way down to laughing stock, middle of the way. That's a sign that, you know, that you have a coach that didn't know what was going on. The fact that he was complaining about recruiting and how hard it was, he's making excuses, right? And the fact that he's throwing players on the bus, I thought that was pretty awful. I didn't like hearing him say, you know, basically throwing DeMarcus Smith under the bus. And right. These and other signs along the way kind of hinted that Dan McCartney just really lost the pulse of the program. I really don't even know what to believe anymore. Him saying, "Oh, really? Wasn't expecting it." I mean, really? You weren't expecting to get canned? You know, after this team wasn't competitive after the first quarter in each of the last three games. It was 35-0 last week. It was 42-0 at halftime this week. I mean, you think, you know, what, you think you're really going to get time to figure it out past that? I don't know how much of that is him just saying that, just, you know, well, you know, we played hard, you know, just doing public relations.
But still, there was no public support evident from the athletic director through this time of struggle. There was nothing that, you know, Coach McCartney's our guy, you know, we believe in him, it's a rough stretch, but we're, you know, sticking with him. And everybody thought he was untouchable at the beginning of the year, and to go from untouchable to you're fired after the fifth game, things had to go pretty bad.
And they did. I don't think this is unreasonable. This is not a knee-jerk. This is deserved. I mean, you see, like I said, you look at what he did last year. He used up any goodwill he had from 2013 last season, when he had the merry-go-round at quarterback, when the defense were just, you know, they looked lost and clueless, the way he talked about players, and then the recruiting job that he did, him complaining about recruiting. It seemed like he was making excuses. He was, and here's the thing, he's kind of always did that, right? Well, you know, he would whisper to family and friends, and that would kind of get out in the press. Well, you know, this is like the worst built team I've ever seen. You know, like these linemen are super small. These guys don't look like FBS players. Players didn't like that. A lot of people didn't like that, right? But we, like I said in the poster I wrote about him, it was received with nods and understanding because we believed him. Like, Todd Dodge was awful, the worst coach in the history of North Texas football. So anybody with any kind of competence is going to look great. They're going to look like an all-timer, a Hall of Famer next to that. And I wonder, and that was my point about bringing up the last 10 years, looking at it all in context, how much of the fact, the contrast between Dodge and McCartney contributes to the way that we look at him. I mean, is Dan McCartney a good coach? Was he an all-time great coach in North Texas? Or was he just an okay coach? Some guy to rake the ship. Some guy that was at least competent to get, you know, to a 40% winning percentage here. What do you think? What is his legacy at North Texas for you?
I think it's the latter, what you said. He's, but, you know, it's hard to throw the word competent around with Dan McCartney after what we've seen this season, because obviously people are going to be like, are you sure? You know, what were you smoking this morning when you said that? No, he returned us to some, in some respects, to, you know, an actual FBS program. Now, it's very hard to say that after what happened yesterday. It's hard to really say anything good about what Dan McCartney's done here. But he cleaned up the off-the-field stuff, the academics, the, you know, the disciplinary stuff. He cleaned that part up for the most, you know, for the most part. The on-the-field stuff, it seemed like he... For a while there, that we were better coached, we were at least competitive in games. We played hard. You know, his style was, you know, play good defense, play good special teams, run the ball. You know, be a tough nosed physical team, and we saw that for, you know, most of his time here. But, you know, kind of trended off last year, and then this year, you saw a man that was desperate to win, so he tried to completely change everything about himself and his program to be somebody he's not. And in the end, it got away from him. He wanted to be the up-tempo offense, and it didn't work with the quarterback that he had. He was asking him to do too much, and it put his defense on the field too much, and he wasn't able to protect him. So he left the program in a better position than Todd Dodge left it. So I think that's what I'll say about him. The next head coach will have some pieces. He will have talent to win right away. I truly believe that the next guy, if it's the right guy, can win right away. The only thing that the next guy really has to worry about is, you know, finding a quarterback right away. I mean, that's got to be... When he hits the ground running at day one, he's got to call every single quarterback in the state of Texas that's a senior and be like, can you play for me? Can you play for me? Can you play for me? That's got to be the top of the list.
Yeah, it's got to be the pre-list. Like, before he even starts making the list, he needs to have already called them. And then, you know, then he can start making his list to even begin doing anything else. Here's the thing. I want to address that thing about, like, the talent. A lot of people look at it pretty simply, like, well, North Texas must not have talent. They just suck, right? No, we got talent here. And we have had talent. Todd Dodge was the worst coach in NFL. I mean, NFL. Yeah, probably NFL, is it? Worst coach in our history. But he also recruited Lance Dunbar. He also recruited Breland Chancellor. He also recruited Derek Thompson. He also recruited all the guys that you saw, you know, lift up the Heart of Dallas Bowl trophy. A lot of guys that set records here, a lot of guys that, you know, are on NFL rosters. The guy could spot talent. He could bring talent in here. Even now, Dan McCartney, he was a shell of the man. I mean, as I was saying, if you got any of the guys from the first 4 years, any of the teams, just anyone, even the worst teams from the first 4 years of Dan McCartney era, they would have shellacked this team that went out there against Portland State. They would have destroyed them just as badly, maybe even worse. Yeah, so I agree. There was the 4+ years of Dan McCartney. Those are good, and I like that guy. This one, what the hell? But that said, he's got some good guys in here. Cedric Fernandez got injured. I liked him, and somebody's like, oh, well, he's a walk-on. I mean, you get credit for that, right? He said, okay, you can walk on our program. You can be on the team. I listen, Brandon Garner looks good. I'm going to list the entire roster that he has here, but he's got guys on his team that have talent, that can play, they can be part of winning teams. They can be a year and a half from now, 2 years from now, they can be holding up a bowl game trophy. They can be in a conference title game. We don't have, like, an absence of talent. It's hard to recruit here because, you know, you just can't say, hey, well, it's North Texas, we want to give you an offer. Oh, okay, you and all your friends and everybody else wants to come? Sure. Yeah, everybody's invited. You got to go out there and you got to do the work. But good talent has come in here.
I think that can change depending on who you hire. I think if you hire a guy that's, you know, okay, the Todd Dodge level of respect, but still as a better coach than him, obviously, like if you had a guy like Lincoln Riley or Major Applewhite or, you know, the guy down at A&M. If you get one of those guys that's recruited Texas, they should be able to find players and tell them that, hey, I'm going here, you know, come be a part of, you know, you're going to get playing time right away. And you know that we're going to put up points because that's what I do. So, you know, come to North Texas. I think that's – if you get somebody that, you know, as a retread, you may – it may be harder for them, like Dan McCartney, to establish the program right away. It's got to be something – it's got to be a guy that can relate to the recruits and the recruits know who he is. I mean, how many of the recruits when Dan McCartney got here probably knew who he was or what he did?
Yeah.
Or where he came from. They probably don't. They probably didn't. And that's probably why we...
I'm an obsessive that's been watching college football for a long time. And I knew he was from... I was like, oh, you mean that guy from Iowa State way back when with the whole Seneca Wallace thing? I mean, again, I was... I know a lot of college football, and yet I was pretty a little bit underwhelmed there. I mean, his press conference won me over, but yeah, I agree. I just want to support your point there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, where... A lot of people are going to throw out names. The one Sports Illustrated guy last night seemed like he was throwing out all the names from GoMeanGreen.com. Obviously, he was reading the fan boards. We'll give him credit for that. At least he knows where to look. And he was like, hey, at least North Texas has a fan board. But where do we go from here? Where do you want to see us go? Obviously, the names, more than one national guy has reported Turner Gill being a possibility. Everything is a possibility at this point. There's no definites. There's probably been no phone calls made. There's just, you know, people throwing out names to throw out names. So everybody's going to throw out there, but give me your, you know, top three, top five, and what are some of the criteria you want to see the next guy have?
I don't even know where to begin. I think I just mostly have reactions to things people throw out. Turner Gill doesn't really excite me. Major Applewhite, that does kind of excite me. And not just because I'm like, oh, well, you just remember him because he went to Texas. No. I liked what he did. He went to Rice, and I liked what he did there. He coached under – he was offensive coordinator. I forget. Was it Todd Graham? Did he coach under Todd Graham? I think it was.
I think he was under Bailiff. Bailiff's been there at Rice for a while.
I don't know. I have to look that up again. But he went to Rice. He did some good things. He was impressive enough for old ball coach at Alabama, Nick Saban. And a lot of people are like, well, you know, he didn't really quite, you know, blow the doors off anything. I mean, that was kind of due to other circumstances, and Nick Saban is a very old school guy. I like that prospect. I think Major, and then, you know, he went to Texas and didn't do a whole lot there, but that was more of a Mac Brown thing than it was Major Brown.
He wanted to recruit JT Barrett. He wanted to offer him, and they said no. Mac Brown said no to that. We have, I forget, oh, it was Swoops. It was between Barrett or Swoops, and because they had a commitment from Swoops, they said no to JT Barrett, even though Major wanted to. And then Major wanted Andrew Luck instead of Gilbert, and we all know how that turned out. So his hands were tied behind his backs with recruiting there. I think he would be a better head coach than he would be an offensive coordinator. So that's just my opinion about Major.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think the big question mark is about, like, say, a Major Applewhite would be, hey, can you lead a program? I mean, because we've already hired a guy without program experience, like as a head guy, and that kind of went awfully. But then again, I mean, Major Applewhite has been, he's been in a successful top 10 program, you know, as a player, later as a grad assistant. He's been at, when you say, like, Conference USA / American Conference level at Rice. He's went to Alabama, seeing how they did it there. And what is he doing right now?
Where is he? He's the offensive coordinator at Houston.
Houston,
quarterback's coach, offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's Tom Herman's offense down there that, you know, he's just kind of calling the plays. But still, he's coaching up Greg Ward.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you soak up a lot of these different things. I think if you say, hey, look, I learned from Nick Saban. I've seen how he runs a program. That guy's won a couple national championships and, you know, has a perennial contender for national champion. Recruits awesome guys in the NFL. I've seen how he runs a program, right? And so he has a little bit of that, you know, Dan McCarney said that, well, you know, I won the championship, got a big ass ring in Florida. He has a little bit of that there, right? And then he also has experience at other places, smaller schools, sees, you know, the difference in recruiting. You know, you can't get the same kind of guys at Rice or Houston as you can at Texas or Alabama. So I like that in theory. You got to figure out, I mean, who does he hire? What does he like running a program? What's he like managing game decisions? How does he deal with off-the-field issues, you know? How does he deal with the guy stealing TVs from Walmart? How does he deal with that? What do you do? That would be interesting. It'd be exciting, get a little buzz around the program. I'd like to maybe compete a little bit with the SMU guy down the road, right? I don't know. I mean, that sounds good, but then, you know, he might just, you know, bounce off to somewhere else. Maybe that's not the worst thing. Somebody's saying it won't work. Hey, if it's not working or if you have trouble with this, we're recording this and you can get this all on iTunes. You can stream it live there. I mean, you can stream it later.
Connection's kind of spotty right now.
All right. So that is how I feel about that. Anybody else? I haven't really looked at it, I got to say. I haven't had time to think about it. What do you think? Who is your favorite, besides Major Applewhite, since I think you've posted elsewhere that you like him for the gig?
Yeah, I'd like to interview a guy like Lincoln Riley. Again, a young guy like Applewhite, but he's been successful at East Carolina, the air raid offense. So I'd like to just give him an interview. I think one of the first guys you have to call is Willie Fritz down at Georgia Southern. Been successful there, was successful at Sam Houston State. Obviously, he runs more of a triple option offense, but still, he's been successful wherever he's been. So I think that's like one of the first calls. I wouldn't mind calling Hudspeth at, you know, Louisiana Lafayette. I think we could give him more resources at our program. So I don't think that would be a bad idea to go. I think you should interview Kendall Briles at Baylor. I think, you know, a lot of people were pointing to him, but still, can he manage a program? Yes, he can call his dad's plays, and he could maybe recruit, but can he manage a program? That's a big, you know, that's a big if there. I think the guy who's now the run game coordinator for the University of Texas, Jeff Traylor, he was the head coach at Gilmer and won all those state championships. His offense is bits and pieces of the, you know, Gus Malzahn, and he takes a little bit of all the different spread offenses. I think it's Gus Malzahn, Tom Herman. He molded that into an offense at Gilmer, put up tons of points, was hired as the special teams coordinator at Texas. After the first game against Notre Dame, they moved him to just run game coordinator. So I think he would obviously be really well respected amongst all the high school coaches and the players in the state. And so I think he's one of the brightest young guys in the game. So I think that's a guy you should give an interview. I wouldn't mind interviewing Turner Gill. Again, that's that retread type of thing. Somebody mentioned Ed Orgeron. Obviously, he can recruit. But I think the biggest thing that we should focus on is whoever is doing the search is offense. We have to be able to score points. Defense doesn't win championships necessarily in college football anymore. It's about offense. It's about, you know, how many points can you score on, put on the board? That gets you noticed. The points and the blue field, that got Boise State noticed. The points, you know, gets Baylor noticed. That's how Art Briles changed that program around. So obviously we've got to find some offensive-minded guy.
I'll respectfully disagree with you to that extent. I mean, I don't think that we need – I think you win. You win, you get respect. It wasn't the blue field only that got Boise State respect. It was winning games. It was going to Oregon and
beating. Yeah, but they won by scoring a lot of points.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's good teams score a lot of points. I mean, the best teams in the college football history score a lot of points, right? It comes with having a good football team. I mean, look at North Texas in 2013, right? They scored a lot of points. How were they doing that? Was it a great offense? No, it was an offense that played a lot of games is mostly why they had record-breaking yardage totals. but, you know, it was like a per play basis, that kind of thing. They were good, but they were not just like spectacular. A lot of that was the defense scoring. I think you can win with defense. You can win with defense. I mean, again, I hate to bring up the Harbaugh thing, but, you know, he's a great coach. I like following great coaches with a philosophy and the ability to communicate that to their teams at any level. I think that guy, we need a guy. Where's the next Harbaugh like that? I think we could get him. We all apparently, I don't know, depending on who you believe or exactly how it went, he was in conversation. Like, somebody called him up or something at the very least. Hey, do you want to come to coach in North Texas? But, you know, like, he was a career coach. He loves coaching. You know, where's a guy like that that – if you don't know Harbaugh's story, he coached under his dad, Jack Harbaugh, at Western Kentucky when they were in FCS school in his free time. He was a volunteer coach under his dad. And then when he took over the program, what was it, San Jose State? I forget what it was. And they went from laughingstock to a good team. He took the next gig at Stanford. They were awful. They were going one in whatever every season. He took them to a nationally recognized program. He left, took a laughingstock NFL franchise, right? The Niners were perennially 8-8. He took them to a couple NFC Championship games. He's at Michigan, which has been terrible ever since Ohio State's been good these past, 10, 15 years, and now they're undefeated. The guy can coach. That's what I want to see. Where's the guy that can coach? It doesn't really matter specifically to me whether he's like an offensive-minded guy or defensive-minded guy, whether he wants 3 yards in a cloud of dust, or whether he wants to put 75 points a game on everybody. Just a guy that can coach. A guy that can communicate whatever his philosophy is to his players, and we can get results. That's all that really matters to me. I see what you're saying, though. I mean, I was kind of like that when Daryl Dickey was running 3 yards into the middle of the line, and we were getting destroyed. I was like, you know what? If we're going to lose, let's at least lose with some entertainment. Let's at least put up some points, you know? And say what you will about Todd Dodge, meaning, like, say that he was the worst coach in North Texas history. We set some offensive records during his time. Y'all remember that Navy game? Y'all remember that, what's the other one that we put up? Against Western Kentucky, where we scored like 63 points or something like that, and they had like 55. It was something ridiculous like that. At least you see some points. Just give me a guy that can coach. Somebody that can coach.
You know, we've been talking for almost 50 minutes now, and the biggest elephant in the room really is the athletic director, the guy, RV, does he get to make that hire?
Let me tell you.
And because a lot of people would point to it, said, you know, it doesn't matter really about this coaching search, because if RV's the guy doing it, we're most likely going to miss out again.
I agree, man. I said, you know, like, I think everybody's like, so Dan McCarney's gone, so now RV's next, right? Question mark? I mean, if you ask RV, hey, so who do you think about hiring? Such and such guy. How is he different than the last two guys that you've hired?
Whiffed on.
Yeah, that have produced some of the most embarrassing times in North Texas football history, right? Like, you hired two guys that embarrassed the hell out of us. Who are you going to get next? Like, what is the sheet that you're looking at? What is this how to hire a coach playbook, right? Because toss that one out. Because that's what, you know, like, the way you're doing it, it ain't working. So I agree. And then also the basketball coach thing, there's more. RV should probably be, you know, handed a check, given a handshake, maybe have a little banquet, and then let go, right? Say, hey, thanks for your contributions. We really like these facilities. You did a good job in some areas. Hey, you know, here's a gold watch, you know?
Yeah, and then here's the thing. There's different reports on him right now. There's reports of, yes, there is actual heat on RV, and there's reports that, no, he's safe and he wants to stay until he gets a baseball program set up. So, you know, we're trying to track down, you know, what's the truth, what's not the truth. So, you know, I'm going to choose the first one. I think that there really is some heat on him. I think there was some heat on him from the president's side. But I think on RV side, he has the big money donors, because there's some thought out there that he was able to get the buyout money for Dan McCartney, and that should be the reason that he's able to get his job. I don't know how – or keep his job. I don't know how that would go over, you know, in your place of work saying, hey, I just cost you $3 million, you know, but I should still keep my job. You know, I don't know. Obviously, the university might pitch in a little bit, but the big money donors, they're the ones that are paying that, you know, paying McCartney off. It's not the university. So he got that money collected, and he probably believes that should be his reason to stay, and he should get another shot. But again, you know, on Billy Sierra on GoMeanGreen.com had the list of hires, and he's like, you know, all of his hires are like 100 games below 500.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you total them all up. So how do you justify letting that guy choose the next head coach?
Well, here's how he justifies it to himself. And also, and you heard this a little bit in Dan McCartney's press conferences and the way he handled himself. And that is to say, well, hey, I'm kind of doing you a favor, buddy. I mean, you're North Texas. You're lucky to have me out here. You know, without me, you'd be even worse. I mean, that's basically the issue, you know, that they're like looking at this like, you know, like I said, they're doing us a favor. Like Dan McCartney's like, well, you know, it's real great. You know, we really changed the program. You know, the way I found it, we definitely left it better. I mean, that's, again, comparing it to the previous regime. Like, hey, well, it was bad. And, yeah, we only won 5 games and we lost on the road every week. And we looked pretty pretty awful against FCS Portland State. But, hey, you know what? It could have been worse. We could have been 2-whatever. I'm like, well, that's not really like the best argument. Same thing for RV. It's like, hey, well, do you guys remember the stadium you were playing in, you know, in 2001? It's like, yeah, we do. Like, well, see? There. That's why I need to keep my job. Like, I mean, I understand that. But, yeah, it's like a guy that's, you know, throwing 20 touchdowns. Like, yeah, I threw 19 interceptions, but I got 20 touchdowns for you. It's like, oh, I mean, we like a little bit more efficiency here, you know, like getting funds, raising money for athletics, for buildings, for this, that, and the other. That's part of the job, you know. You're just pointing to things you should be doing. We're talking about the things that you're doing poorly. You see what I'm saying? And I think that is where you make the argument that you got to get RV out of here. It's not like, well, look at the money I raised for the stadium. It's, yeah, well, look at all the potential money that is foregone by having a losing football team and a losing basketball team and, you know, losing women's basketball team. And, I mean, really the only thing is that you can point to with any kind of prestige, and it's not like a knock on anything else, but, you know, nobody really pays attention to, like, track and field and some of the smaller Olympic things, is soccer. Like, soccer's been great perennially. And, I mean, there's not a whole lot he can do to ruin that, really. I mean, I feel like if he could, he would have. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, I agree. I just know that the fan base doesn't trust him. And I don't know how the big money donors can trust him making the next head coaching hire. Because this is a very important hire. I mean, it's just as important as the last one with the new stadium and everything. But really, if you're the president of the university, you have to look at everything that's being said out there. And I think you have to listen to the fan base on this one. And you have to trust them that they, you know, obviously he hasn't been there that long. And, you know, the president has gotten, you know, numerous emails, gotten numerous letters in the mail. He's getting it from everywhere, you know, that the athletic director, you know, he's part of the problem and he's not the solution. And if we get a new athletic director in here, you know, a good one, we don't know if he'll be good, but let's say we get in a new athletic director and that new athletic director, you know, hires, you know, a football coach that we get excited about. Just think of the positivity that'll be flowing. You know, we're so down today, but think of where we could be by the end of December going into next year. You know, obviously we have to sit through the basketball, but, you know, we could have a new athletic director and we could have Major Applewhite as our head coach and we could have a good football staff that he's brought in, you know, guys from all over the country. And all of a sudden, going into next year, we're like SMU, we're trending up. And people are talking good about North Texas instead of, you're the worst team in football.
Totally agree. Totally agree. I think, yeah, there's much, you know, like there's a lot to be had by making a change. And not a whole lot to be gained or maintained by keeping it the way it is. So yeah, I've long been on the let's move on from our athletic director bandwagon. It seems now like a new president, new financial situation, new conference, new all these things. We are in a better position to make that change, and I am excited about it. I'm getting a little cynical. I feel like I used to be a lot more positive when I'm like, yeah, all we need is just a couple winning seasons, and we'll have this, and we'll have that. It's going to be great, and the teams can go to the NCAA tournament. But, you know, again, we're picked eighth in the in basketball. The women's team is picked last, to finish last.
Football team. Finish last, guaranteed.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Is that like we are always just kind of like an afterthought, and eventually you can't just keep blaming on the coaches. You got to look at the people, the guy in particular that hired these coaches. So yeah, I mean, it's time to pee the piper, to be reviewed. What else do we have to talk about? I don't know. I don't know if I have anything else pressing. I didn't even check to see what the women's soccer team did. I think they're still undefeated in conference. I know. I mean, like I said, I was saying fire everybody. Fire everybody. I was going to fire myself from blogging. I might still fire myself. Apparently, we have network issues, right? Right now, people can't listen live.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What I did do, and I sent this out to people. Yeah, unbelievable. I sent this out to people that subscribe to the newsletter. So if you are listening, you're like, how do I get more of this awesome wonderfulness that is the Mean Green Nation? Well, you can follow Greg on Twitter. He is MGN_breakdown. You can follow me on Twitter. I am Mean Green Nation. You can go to the site, obviously. We'd like you to do that. Greg posts his breakdowns every week. How's that going to work this week? We got a short week.
I don't know. Breakdown. I don't know how I'm feeling about it. I'll try and do Western Kentucky, but I mean, again, all the matchups, they all favor Western Kentucky. We'll just say that right now. And the statistics, they're going to look pretty shitty. So there you go. That's your breakdown. This is all this week. It's not about statistics. It's not about matchups. This week is all about the UNT players. It's all on them. It's all about their frame of mind. And, you know, as Dabo Sweeney said last week at the end of Notre Dame, you know, BYOG, North Texas has to bring their own guts on Thursday night against Western Kentucky. They better show up. You know, Western Kentucky's not going to feel sorry for them. They're going to want to kick their ass, too. But, again, there's no pressure on North Texas. There's no pressure. Go out there and you know, just play hard. That's what I want to see. I want to see a team that goes out there and competes against Western Kentucky. Whatever the final is, be competitive. Play hard. Play for each other. Play like a team. Do something, you know, like a team out there.
Yeah. So there's your breakdown for the week. But usually you can find that on the MeanGreenNation.com is what I'm getting at. You can go there and read all the stuff that we post. I mean, we try to get some out, you know, every day or something like that. Greg's a working man, and he went ahead and procreated. So he's a busy guy, you know, saving lives and things. I am also a busy person, but, you know, we squeeze in some time to be unproductive at work and in school and as a husband to post some lingering thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. And also, here's the other thing I did, is like, you know, like, one, this comment system right here in the chat, and we got people that tweet at us all the time, and then people that respond to our podcast posting on, like, the message board on GoMeGreen.com. So I've been playing around with this for a while. It serves like a dual purpose, and I sent this out to people on the mailing list, so that's where you can get the link to it, but I'll just give it out right now. It's forum.meangreennation.com. I've been wanting to play around with this thing mostly for some of the other shows that I do, the other show I do right now, which is Deranged Penguin Podcast. among other things. So it's kind of like a little testing ground. But you can go there and test it out. I really need people just to go and test it out and tell me what's wrong with it. That's what I'm looking for. So if you please do that, and it could also serve as like a little discussion thing, in case you don't want to join the discussions that already exist on gummingreen.com. That's the message board. That's the message board everybody uses. You want to use that one. This, like the other ones, are the other incarnations of the MGN forum. It's mostly just to kind of test some things and also to kind of keep the discussion on here, because I don't want to have – it just feels kind of rude to go over there and talk about my show on their message board. It's weird. I don't know how you feel about that, Greg. But that's that. You can use that. That's how you can get in contact with us. The mailing list, you can find that. You click subscribe. You can go down there and subscribe to the email, and we'll send you out updates. Usually it's basically a post form with links to things that we've done, but occasionally some other things, in case you like to get updates that way. I don't know. Everybody always gets at me in lots of different ways. Like, people are like, dude, yeah, I don't like subscribe or nothing, but can you just email me anytime you do a post? I'm like, well, no, I'm not going to do that. And like, hey, guess what? I did another blog post. Will you read it? And then some people don't like Twitter. Some people prefer Facebook. We have a Facebook page. Greg, you have Facebook, right?
No, I got rid of Facebook.
Okay. Well, there is no Facebook page anymore.
I don't have a Facebook
page. Yeah, there exists a Mean Green Nation Facebook page, but don't use that one because nobody controls it anymore. But, yeah, people use Facebook. That's the one area that we haven't really posted things. But, yeah, I mean, you can find us on the internet. You can get in contact with us. We're pretty reachable. Some of y'all that follow me, y'all need to go follow Greg, because he always had some nice little rants about some UNT sports and also the Cleveland Browns.
yeah. I'm seeing somewhere that Canales is going to be the interim coach and not a dual.
Yeah, what is up with that? Coach. I hadn't read too much about it other than that announcement.
You know, it was reported by ESPN's. What's his name? McMurphy.
Yeah.
So I don't know where he was getting it. I think it was probably mentioned, you know, saying that, oh, we're going to decide between the two, you know, who it'll be. But obviously, I'd lean more Mike Canales. So,
I mean, they say if you got two quarterbacks and you really have none. I don't necessarily believe that. I think it's mostly true. But if you have two head coaches, then you really have no head coaches.
Right. So, and I think it's just – you had Canales do it once. Why not let him do it again? Obviously, he knows how to motivate the players. So I'd lean on that if I was RV. Just let Canales do it. See what he – if he can be successful again at, you know, finding, you know, the players, bringing them back, and at least – making them competitive for the next couple games.
Okay, here's a question for you. Say Mike Canales.
No.
No, absolutely not.
No.
Well, let me ask the question ask it out. Would you keep Mike Canales on as permanent head coach if he turns his team around and they say they're going to go undefeated the rest of the way? Like, what is the criteria for you to be like, you know what? I was wrong about Mike, but now I'm on the train and I will lock the gate. That was a thing that he said last time he was the interim head coach here.
It's nothing. It's time to remove ourselves from the current staff. I mean, most of those guys need to go on. You keep a guy like Tommy Perry, who's recruited well, the running backs coach and special teams. You know, Kevin Patrick, the defensive line coach, he's recruited well, too. So those are guys I could see staying or getting jobs elsewhere. But I think we've seen enough of Mike Canales. I mean, you can't tell me that the quarterback choices, you know, he hasn't had some say in it. And the recruits and who to bring in. So I don't see there's any way they go undefeated. But even if they do, it's just – it would be like RV if – let's say he doesn't get let go. They go undefeated. RV gets to pick next head coach. He picks Mike Canales. That would be like him admitting he made a mistake, you know, by hiring Dan McCartney, basically. I don't know the man if
he's
he
already
could do
said that.
That,
he's already said Dan McCartney was a great hire. Like, he went ahead and declared that. He nipped that criticism in the bud by saying, no, Dan McCartney was a good hire at the time. And now we're going to move forward after a full evaluation of the program. That's what he said.
I think, you know, okay, yes, the full evaluation of the program for football needs to be done, but the president...
No, he said it's done. He said it was done already. Like, this is okay. The completed part.
Well, the president needs to do a full evaluation of the athletic department. I mean, there needs to be, like, some, you know, surveys that go out for the players and maybe even some of the ex-players. You know, they need to pitch in their 2 cents to the president, or, you know, he would probably listen more to them than to us who have criticism, because, you know, there's athletes out there who went through North Texas who aren't fond of the athletic director either.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think a full review needs to be done of the entire athletic department, not just football.
Yeah, like this weekend would have been a good time. There's a lot of former players. It's a homecoming. You can grab them. Hey, what do you think about the team right now? I don't know. But know this. If they went undefeated now, we'd be 7-5, bowl eligible. I think it'd be really hard to not let him keep the gig. I don't think he's not going to go 7-5. I know that. But if he did, then it would be really hard to not give him the gig, especially considering his 2 chances as the head guy and how well the team played under him. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It just kind of.
I mean, they'd have to come. All right, they'd have to come out averaging like 55 points a game. And yeah. McNulty could not be the quarterback. It'd have to be DeMarcus Smith. I don't know. I mean, you just... God, I don't want to see... That's what I'm saying. I don't want to see him win, but... I don't want to see Mike Canales really as the head coach here. I want to see something new, something different. We've seen him for a long period of time, and obviously it's just not working, Mike.
I agree. I think it's totally reasonable to not want Mike Canales here anymore. We need a break from all of that, some of that stink there from the program's past, from this. I mean, like I said, this game was embarrassing. That was awful. And it could be a fireable offense for anybody. Even if we were, like, undefeated. To get pasted 66, to look uncompetitive, like we weren't even there.
Yeah,
I think,
I mean,
like you mentioned former pro players' opinions, like Zach Ward. I think anybody posted about that. He was disgusted. Derek Acuna was disgusted. Former player James Hamilton was disgusted. Everybody was like, "What in the hell is going on?" I mean, yeah, it's nobody associated with the program that actually played and went on the field and wore the colors, that went to the school, or that, you know, that has been watching for a long period of time, was happy about that. It's a fireable offense.
I'd like to see Mike Canales made the interim head coach, and then he turns around and fires Chris Kosh, and then they make Kevin Patrick the defensive coordinator for the rest of the season.
I mean, it's sure hard to say Kevin Kosh deserves his job because, I mean, geez, dude, 66. That's 260s in this season. Southern Miss had 49, but they could have easily scored 60-plus against us.
66 by a damn FCS school. It wasn't even that explosive on offense.
You didn't see it, but they lined up. That 70-yard run was up the middle. It was just like, bloop, everybody falls down. Guy runs straight down the middle. I don't even think he moved in the slightest. It was, I mean, what do you even do? That's what I said. I was laughing like, well, I mean, I'm going to watch the end of this. It's going to be embarrassing, and I need to get a drink. So looking at the schedule, a renewed team with fire in their bellies and everybody playing for their job, coaching for their job, you know, that kind of thing, coaching for next year, they're placing a team. Everybody knows that the new coach is going to come in looking at film, like who played hard, who competed while the chips are down. That's what he's going to be looking at. These coaches are like, well, I need to get another gig next season. So with the new North Texas team, this is basically day one. It's a whole new team. I think the only beatable team on the schedule from now on, beatable teams, maybe UTSA, maybe UTEP. Western Kentucky is going to eviscerate us.
Yeah, we won't be favored in either one of those games you mentioned. But yeah, UTEP looks like, because that'll be senior night, so that may be the most winnable game there. That's what I'd say right now. And I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens Thursday night, and then we may change our minds. But I know a lot of people aren't excited. I'm excited to see them Thursday night. I'm excited. I want to say that. People are like, "What the hell is he smoking?"
Yeah, I won't be able to watch it live. Well, probably not live. I'll probably follow along on my phone on a stream. So that's kind of disappointing, but then kind of not. I don't know. Thanks everybody for listening. I still see we have listeners that battle through the network problems. I blame it on Time Warner Cable, guys. I mean, I don't like them either. You know, I pay money every week, but I do it unhappily. You know.
I'd like to apologize for Adam making excuses like Dan McCartney this morning. So just want to put that out there.
Can't quite put my finger on why this podcast wasn't amazing. I don't know what it was. Really proud of the way we podcasted, though. Time Warner Cable gives us the best chance to network, though. You know what? All the best to Dan McCartney. I mean, everybody said, like, watching the game, I might have tweeted some things that maybe I wouldn't say to him directly. But I don't know. If I was standing next to him while the game was going on, I might have said it to him. Like, dude, you need to quit right now. You need to quit. You need to just, like, let's just call it at halftime. Let's not even come out. I would take 45-0 and we quit at halftime over whatever in the hell was going to happen in the second half. Media came out the second half. They scored again. And so, yeah, it would have been better if we quit at halftime, just for embarrassment's sake. Would have saved ourselves a record. Nobody was there even. Nobody was even watching the game. Everybody left at halftime. So, yeah, I mean, I try not to forget that, kind of the way I felt then, because I kind of feel like, well, you know, maybe he was a nice guy. I mean, he had some really good speeches. I mean, is he that bad? No. Then I think back to watching the guy run untouched. It was like the backup quarterback. They're like, hey, everybody just pick a position, you can play it. And then whoever had the ball scored a touchdown. I was like, you know what? No, you don't get to be the head coach of our university when you're putting out products like that, you know? You don't get to be that. Thanks for listening, everybody. Go Mean Green. See you Thursday. Greg will see you Thursday. Go read the stuff that we posted on the internet for you to read. Go check out that forum. Forum.meangreennation.com. I like the discourse software. I want to see it. I want to see what's wrong with it before I push it out further to other places. I mean, because like I said, I like it, but, you know, like, I didn't get to see. There's ways you can test it, like they have demos, but I didn't get to really test it out myself. You know what I mean? Like full on user, but so I need testers. You guys are guinea pigs. Anything you want to say, Greg? Parting thoughts?
No, I got nothing.
No. Hey, it's a new day. Hey, we cut it out. The worst is behind us, I think.
I'm not adding anything to it. I mean, that was perfectly put. So, yes. The dark days are in the past, and hopefully we get something bright, something good to talk about next weekend. Positive thoughts, everybody.
Yeah, thanks again for listening, everybody. Go Mean Green.